If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Our guest is Madalika Sika, an executive editor of NPR News. She was working with her team on an interview with President Obama, and then she received her breast cancer diagnosis about 4 years ago. Today she's cancer-free, which is fantastic. And a new book is called A Breast Cancer Alphabet. And she's here to talk to us for anybody who's been diagnosed with breast cancer and needs a companion. The publisher is Crown. Thank you so much for coming on. I'd like to know if when you were diagnosed with your breast cancer diagnosis a couple of years ago, where's the first place you went to for information about your diagnosis?
I have to say it was my doctors, because I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, and my husband had been diagnosed with cancer 10 years before me, so we had had some experience of hearing a diagnosis like that. So first my doctors, and then other people who had gone through it. And unfortunately, it is a sad fact of breast cancer that I happen to know, you know, several women that I could get in touch with who had gone through it.
Were you overwhelmed by, I mean, were you confused about where to go to, who to listen to, who to talk to, what to read?
Yeah, I think the thing is there's a lot of information out there, and some of it is quite good. You know, the National Cancer Institute, American Cancer Society among them, you know, have really good general information, but you find out pretty fast that what you need to deal with is your own specific ailment, and, you know, the best information you can get on that is through your own medical professionals.
Dr. Mike.
This is a wonderful book.
Thank you.
I should say it's A Breast Cancer Alphabet. I try and read the full book of every book we have on the show. Joe will tell you I don't succeed on all of them, such as some of those on prostate cancer have been so big that they're better at weightlifting than anything else. But this is a tremendous book because it really was easy to read and I think provides a heck of a lot of useful information, not just for breast cancer, but for any cancer. I particularly liked, and I'll go through some of them, and then I want to go through and challenge you on a couple.
Okay. But
and by the way, for anyone who wants to find out more, it's a breast cancer alphabet. .com is the website. She also has a Tumblr, so you can put in more of your stories and more of the letters and different letters for the same alphabet to get the full dictionary, if you will, as she says, breastcanceralphabettumblr.com. So the one of them was you had stuff on kindness. K is for kindnesses. And what I thought was really wonderful is the advice you gave there, and rather than my saying the advice you gave there, let me ask you to say, what did you, how did this come about, and how did you develop this word?
Well, I think for me it came about because, you know, when you tell your friends and colleagues and family that you have been diagnosed, obviously they're very concerned, and the first thing they ask you is, what can I do to help? And that is a sincere question from most of them. And I think you should think about it, not too long, not too hard. Figure out what you need help with and ask them to help you because you're going to need it. And it is much more useful for you to have the help that you need, and your friends and family will feel much better if they're doing something valuable for you rather than plying you with pink fluffy teddy bears or other useless things that you don't really need when you're going through treatment.
So we should bring up Sarah. I don't know Sarah's last name,
Sarah,
but Sarah was one of the people who you told what you wanted, the dietary restrictions or preferences, even put a cooler outside your house. So if you didn't feel like opening the door or answering the door when people brought food over, but as I got it for about I don't know how long it was, but for the period of
about
treatment,
5 months.
Sarah organized meals so that you literally didn't have to cook for 5 months.
Right. And, she found a calendar that everyone could sign up for and sent it to a very wide range of people, and everyone signed up and said what they were bringing and what time they'd drop by, and it was a lifesaver.
And when you look at Share the Care, which is another book that I've read in this area, one of the things that is most important, and now we can do in the internet age, is have a calendar like that where you put what you want. But it also, as you implied, it also makes the people around you feel better, as well as takes a huge burden off of you.
Absolutely. I mean, they can genuinely feel that they are helping in a really positive way. And I think that most people did feel that, and we were very blessed to have such a wide group around us who could do that for us.
And so I think that exemplifies a lot of the things that are generalizable to, at least from what I've heard, are generalizable to cancer patients. And as you said in the book, I don't know where you said it, but one of the things is most of the doctors have not, and no one can really experience what you're going through unless they've experienced cancer and chemotherapy and reconstruction. Because there is no, the empathy isn't quite the same.
Absolutely.
So I think you make that point as well. The other, and I'm going to get to a number of topics, but one of them I thought was, and Joe brought this up a little bit when he talked about the information, is there's so much anxiety. Could you have done better without the anxiety, and how do you, and you didn't talk about dealing with the anxiety, but obviously you must have.
Well, I think the challenge is you have to sort of calibrate it. Sometimes it's really at the forefront and dominates everything, and other days it's just somewhere in the back of your mind, and, you know, it goes with the cycle of what you're going through. So while you're waiting to hear the results of a biopsy, for example, you're really anxious, and it's really important to figure out how you're going to deal with that. So, you know, when I was waiting for test results after my biopsy, you know, when we knew that then we found a second tumor, and there was a lot of work that needed to be done to figure out what I needed to do, it was that period in the holidays between Christmas and New Year, and things are a little slow, and these tests take time, so you need some therapy. And for me, it was, you know, watching back-to-back Downton Abbey or other TV shows to keep my mind off what was going on. And, you know, sometimes you may need the help of a doctor to help you get through it, and there is no shame in that. But I think you have to calibrate what is right for you. And it is going to be different. It's not going to be the same level of anxiety all the way through.
And but you didn't talk, and maybe you didn't use this very much, about meditation. You did talk about exercise or walking through problems, and just essentially walking as a therapy to work through something.
Well, you know, during my chemotherapy, my chemo nurse and doctor advised me to try and move every day, just a little bit even, to sort of keep everything moving. And, you know, you get extremely exhausted during chemotherapy and you feel like a rag doll, like one foot isn't going to go in front of the other. It was important to try and get out and walk as much as I could in the really bad phases. And, you know, I know people who have used meditation, you know, that I didn't, but I didn't feel that I needed to seek that out. I was certainly prepared to look for that, or acupuncture, which another friend had used that she found very helpful, but I felt I was managing well with the things I was doing. I've
now
used acupuncture before.
Now, the other things that I'm going to get into in the second half are a little bit about nutrition and, if you will, things you didn't talk about, aspirin and prevention of cancers as much as, but you talked a lot about things that helped you, and one of the major things was taking both a vacation and getting your Z's. So Z, I found Z's a fun thing, but also the impressive thing was the aiming for vacation.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Madalika Sika is the author of Breast Cancer Alphabet, published by Crown. And here again, Dr. Mike Roizen.
So where we were was in the need for a vacation. Tell us how you, and this goes with, I guess, the Q also, which is quit. So take care of both V and Q for us.
Sure. I mean, a vacation, it doesn't have to be an exotic vacation. I think it's really important to have a goal to get away for a while, and it may be just for an afternoon or, you know, it may be for longer, but you're in cancer land, and sometimes it's nice to have a target to know that you can get out for a while. So a vacation, you know, actually the first trip I took was to friends up in Massachusetts who had a house. I just went for a long weekend, and it was the first time I had gone beyond the three-mile radius of my house for about 7 months. And it was really important for my mental health just as much as my physical health, because, you know, there are days when you do want to quit. There are days when you don't want to take your walk, or there are days where you don't want to face anybody, and those are perfectly acceptable as well, and it's nice to have some kind of goal to get you through the darker days.
So this is the book we're talking about, is A Breast Cancer Alphabet with Madalika Sika, S-I-K-K-A. It's a breast cancer alphabet.com, or if you want to add words to it, a breast cancer alphabet tumblr.com. And this is, I think it's a wonderful, it's a fast read, it's a wonderful read for all the things. Now, the thing I was most surprised about was no conversation about healthy nutrition. So we know that added sugar causes a cancer, especially breast and prostate cancers, to spread and become more malignant. And we know that saturated fat actually accelerates that. Yet one of the things you seem to enjoy most was something with both, that is ice cream and a specific flavor of ice cream. So
it wasn't like I was in a college dorm eating tubs of ice cream every day. You know, occasionally I felt the need for ice cream. There were lots of foods I didn't eat just because, you know, chemotherapy just messes up your taste buds in a very profound way. And often it was just not pleasant to eat much of anything at all. There were many foods that I just couldn't touch. And every now and then, if I found something,
so your favorite,
go ahead.
You alluded to one of your favorites had been broccoli, garlic broccoli, and I guess you couldn't touch that.
Well, I couldn't stand the smell, you know, of it cooking, and thus I couldn't deal with it. And you know, the effect on your taste bud is also an effect on you, how you smell as well, how foods smell, and the whole combination was a challenge.
Now, we've also known recently that aspirin is one of the great things at decreasing both the malignancy of a number of cancers and even the incidence, but the malignancy of it. And you didn't talk about some of the common things that your doctors might have talked to you about. And the question is, did they talk to you about it? One of the things is, how much of this type of information should we be expecting from our physicians, and how much just from our friends and reading books like yours?
Well, I think that, you know, I didn't talk about specific remedies because I'm not a doctor and it's not a medical book. I think the thing that's most important is for you to have that conversation with your doctors to find out what is right for you. And again, I think that as patients, often we feel unempowered to do that, and we have a right to ask questions of the doctors, and it's the doctor's obligation to talk you through everything that is pertinent to your disease. So, you know, I very intentionally did not write a book that was trying to give prescriptions, medical prescriptions for breast cancer, because, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm a journalist.
And one of the interesting things in your journalistic, if you will, what I would call your native journalism, is you used notebooks commonly when you did meet with the physicians, and you had others write in the notebooks, I guess your husband mainly, when you felt you couldn't concentrate on that.
Yeah, I think it's really important to keep notes when you're having these conversations, so you have a record of what was said to you, because you might forget what was said to you. It also helps you prepare for questions that you want to bring to the doctor, and I think it is absolutely vital to have someone in the room with you who can listen for you. And in this case, you know, I was fortunate that my college professor husband was the person I had with me in the room. I think it's vital to take notes, and in fact, you'll notice at the back of the book that we have blank pages for people to keep their own notes as they're going through.
Ah, I wondered why those blank pages. Are those notes for people who are going through a cancer, or notes on the book?
Whatever they want it to be. I think the book, we designed the book to be small, portable, slip it in your purse. We also kept the chapter short so you could dip in and out of it. I really hope that it is a useful guide and companion for people as they go through it.
Yeah, I thought it was, and I should reiterate this again, it is what I would call just fantastic, because it gives so many what I would call very useful things and very useful concepts for people with any cancer. It's not just for breast cancer.
Well, thank you.
I think
there's a universality.
I was going to say, guys who get prostate cancer, this would be useful for too. now you've got to tell me. I was intrigued. You went to Istanbul. Did you like it? And what did you find there?
I did like it. I love cities, and it's one of the world's great cities. There's fabulous food, wonderful architecture, and it was quite a blissful experience. I think the thing that was a challenge as someone who's used to traveling was, you know, I knew I had to take breaks and take rest in the afternoon and later in the evening. So it was a different way of traveling for me, but it's a very enchanting place. And talk about taking you out of cancer land.
Well, it's way far away, too. Did you worry about would you need the emergency room, or were you totally stable when you decided to take this
vacation? I was in good shape. We waited a long time before I traveled, and, you know, we waited, like, cleared with my doctors, you know, being away for some time, you know, and we waited till well after my chemotherapy was over. And, you know, my preference during the height of my treatment was to be very, very close. I did not leave town. As I say, I did not go beyond much of a 3-mile radius of my house.
Joe?
For months.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.